Yeah, good afternoon, everybody. I'll talk today on a journey which started 35 years ago when I came first to India and I saw the power shortages, the deforestation going on, and so many problems. And a journey started to introduce solar energy to the institution. And I show a bit about this journey and where it led us, where we are now. In the second part, I talk a bit about our environmental initiative. Brahma Kumaris has an environmental initiative, and we are quite active at the UN climate conferences. And in the third part, I talk very briefly what we can do about it on a personal level. So there will be quite some information. And hopefully there will be 5 minutes and we can do a nice meditation. And there will be quite a lot of information, so I hope you can bear with me. So, the screen is not 100%, I hope we can manage. Brahma Kumaris headquarters is here in Mount Abu, and we have actually 6,000 meditation centers all over India. And we're connected to the United Nations, we are affiliated, you can say we are registered with the ECOSOC and United Nations for Climate Change, as well as United Nations Energy Environmental Program. So we also are doing quite a lot of work with the Brahma Kumaris, with the UN. When I first came to India, I saw a lot of problems in terms of power generation, power cuts, and so on. And here in Rajasthan is a very poor state. We have around 20-30% power cuts in the rural areas. And actually, there's an alternative. You can see this little cube here in the corner is the world energy demand. And this big cube here is the energy coming from the sun. And it is said that the sun delivers us 1,000 times more energy than we actually need. So we receive 1,000 times more energy from the sun than we actually need. And this little cubes is coal, oil, gas, and uranium. And science is telling us whatever coal is in the ground, whatever oil is there, we should not touch it. Because if we take it out and we burn it, we burn the planet. Literally, we burn the planet. So this is the latest science. And because of all this information, Brahma Kumaris started a research center. More than 20 years ago, we started an initiative to work in renewable energies. And we do research in photovoltaic, solar, steam cooking, water recycling, solar hot water, solar architecture, and solar thermal power. And we are meanwhile a recognized research center with the government. Every 3 years we have to deliver our research papers to the government, then we get a fresh approval. So we are really into research and development of new technology. And we started long time ago with these little boxes. This is a solar cooking box, you might have seen it. It's very versatile. You can put your food into the cooking box. The cost is nowadays about $50. In India, they're available. And you have 4 cooking pots inside. You put it in the sun and you can cook your food in 2 or 3 hours. And you can even make bread and cake, and it's very tasty because the temperature stays below 120 centigrades. So we have distributed thousands of these solar cooking boxes. We have also distributed the solar lantern. And India has 60,000 villages without electric connection. Still 60,000 villages without electric connection. So we distributed more than 40,000 and sold and distributed more than 40,000 of these lanterns to the villages here, but also to our own centers. And such a solar lantern is very nice. You have a solar plate, a battery, and nowadays LED. It gives you 30 hours light, and you charge it in daytime by the power of sun. And prices are coming down, and availability is also increasing. So solar lantern is a very, very nice gadget, which helps a lot in India. In 1997, we started with a solar steam cooking system here in Gyan Sarovar. And when you did your tour, I hope you have seen the system here on top of the kitchen. Have you seen it? No? And this system was installed in 1997 and is actually the oldest running and functioning solar system in India. And we cook since 20 years 2,000 meals per day. As long as the sun shines like it is today, we're cooking all the time, we're generating all the time steam. And this steam then goes into the kitchen and we inject it into our cooking pots and we can cook rice, dal, lentils and vegetables. This was a research and development project we started 20 years ago, and we got funding from the German government. In those days, it was still Deutschmark. We spent 100,000 Deutschmark, which is 50,000 euros equivalent. And so it's a very good example of a successful system. The payback of such a system is approximately 4 to 6 years. So after 4 years, 5 years, the savings is helping you to sort of deal with the investment cost. And this is the technology which we need. It is a clean technology and it helps nature. And here you see our Shantivan complex in Abu Road, and you see here on the rooftop we have another system. This system was built in 1999. You see here our main meeting hall, and maybe you have time and can visit this complex in Abu Road. And in 1999, we built this system in Abu Road. And this system is made out of 84 dishes, and we cook 35,000 meals every day. We cook 35,000 meals every day. And the cost at that time was $250,000. And the system is also running without any major flaw since 18 years now. And you can see here a bit detail. We have the dish, and the dish is turning slowly like a sunflower and is reflecting the sunlight on the receiver, and we have water inside. It starts boiling, and we send the boiling water, which is steam, into the kitchen. And this is our kitchen, and you can see how we inject all the steam into the cooking vessels. And this is one of our big meetings in Shantivan in the main hall. So you can see we cook for 20,000 people by the power of sun without any major problem. And this we're doing since 20 years. We also did a lot of work in photovoltaic systems. You see, this is our Om Shanti Retreat Center near Delhi. Delhi is one of the cities in the world with the highest air pollution. So if you go there, you have to be aware. It's a city which, when you live there permanently, your life expectancy is reduced on average by 5 years. This is because 50% of the people have chronic bronchitis. So it's quite serious air pollution in Delhi. And 40 kilometers outside, we have a retreat place where we installed a 400 kilowatt photovoltaic system and a solar cooker. And this place is energy autark. So we invite people to come from Delhi and experience fresh air outside, but also clean environment by using renewable energy sources. And you see all the work, fabrication, foundation work, installation of solar plates was done by our own team. In our solar department, we are now about 60 brothers and sisters here working in the headquarters. We're all volunteers. And you can see here how we installed the solar plates. And the good news is that the solar plates finally have come down in price. When I started, the price of a solar plate was astronomical. Now the price has crashed, you can say, by 90%. And meanwhile, this power is cheaper than conventional power. Solar power is cheaper than conventional power. This year there was a government tender in India. Solar power was 3 rupees per kilowatt in the tender, and conventional power was 4 rupees per kilowatt. So for the first time, solar power is really cheaper than the normal power. However, the problem right now is how to store the energy. Solar power is available in daytime, and we need it. Of course, we need the power with us in the night also. So how to store the solar power? This is the crucial point. And all over the world, a lot of research is going on in that field. We store the power in batteries. We have nearly 8,000 batteries in the institution. We have 400 systems all over India. And some of our brothers, they travel regular in India, you can imagine, all over India, and they maintain these batteries. We get a lifespan of 10 years out of the batteries, and then after 10 years we refurbish the batteries. Now we are running the battery since 20 years, and finally we have taken a sanction from the institution, and within the next couple of months we will sort of buy new solar plates and also new batteries, because we're running them now literally 20 years. So we are among the pioneers in India using this technology since a long time. Here is a project I would like to share with you. It's called India One. Frank has spoken about it. About 8 years ago, we had the idea to develop a solar power station which is based on dishes and generating steam and driving a turbine. And this was a research project which is partly sponsored, which has a budget of about $15 million, and 50% was provided as a grant by the German Ministry of Environment through the German Development Agency, GIZ. 25% came from the Indian government, and 25% came from Brahma Kumaris. And it is a research project, and the speciality of this project is that we have storage, thermal storage in this project. And for this project, we had to develop a big dish. You see, this is a 60 square meter parabolic dish, and this is 10 years ago when I was young and had my full hair. Yeah, you are laughing, but you know, I came 30 years from Germany. Like, in Germany, everything is very straightforward, you know. 1 + 1 = 2. And if you ask an Indian engineer 1 + 1, he says 11. And then he says, maybe. Maybe. It's a little joke, of course, it's also here too. But between India and Europe or Germany is worlds of communication, different habits, understandings. And it took me a couple of years to adjust to the Indian way, and now I'm literally Indianized. And when I come back to Germany, I always think, my God, are they so stressed out? They should take it more easy. So this was a picture 10 years ago when we did the first prototype. It's a 60 square meter dish, which has 3 motors, dual axis tracking, and a lot of features, including a little computer which sees that everything is okay. And this is a receiver. We focus the sunlight on the receiver, and the receiver is heated up to 550 centigrade. We have a coil around it. We pump steam through it, and on top comes steam. We pump water through it, and on the top steam comes out. We send the steam to a turbine. The turbine starts turning, and we generate electricity. Sounds very easy, but very, very complex. Simulations, thousands of hours of engineering and design have gone into it, and many, many expert companies which came in as a consultancy from abroad to India and helped us in designing the plant. And we have our own workshop where we did all fabrication, because it's a completely new development. And this is how it looks now. You can see these are the dishes. The sunlight is reflected into the receiver. The receiver becomes hot, 550 centigrade. We pump water through the receiver. The water becomes steam, and the steam goes into the next receiver, next, and then we have superheated steam, and that goes to the turbine house where the turbine starts turning. And this is the total field as it is right now. We have 770 dishes. And all these dishes are computerized, have a little computer. They follow the sun from morning to evening like a sunflower. The steam is being collected and is sent to the turbine house, which is here. Because we discharge, we pump water first through this row, then through this row, through this row. So in 24 hours, we slowly, we pump the water through the whole field. We run the plant for 24 hours, which makes it very unique. This is one of the first thermal power plants in the world which is able to run 24 hours continuously. That's why we got money. This is why it's a research project, because it was to develop thermal storage. And I'm very happy to tell you that last year the plant, after 8 years, a lot of difficulties, a lot of problems, technical nature, human resource nature, but legal nature, finally the plant went operational. And is in operation right now. And this is the turbine from Siemens, and you see here the steam comes in, the turbine starts turning, and this is the generator which produces 1 megawatt electricity. Well, this is our team. As you might see, all the brothers and sisters here already. So in Shantivan, in Abu Road, downstairs in the plains, we have a team of 40 brothers who are working as volunteers. They're all engineers or specialists. And in the middle, you see our Dadi Janki, which comes a little bit later, and our Dadi Gulzar. Dadi Janki many, many times came and helped us in the project. And I would like to say special thanks to Dadi. You will meet her. I think she's coming, no? Soon? Huh? Maybe? Okay, let's hope she's coming. Dadi is my mentor. I met her 35 years ago for the first time. And many times we had problems in the projects. And one time there was no money. And I went to Dadi and I said, Dadi, we have no money. Dadi says, don't worry, Dadi will help. And she organized some funds and the project could continue. So this is the wise woman of the Brahma Kumaris, and this is what makes the institution so special, that we're administrated by women, which makes it also very, very unique in the world, and which gives a softness and a sweetness to the spiritual journey. So thanks very much to Dadi. And we do also a lot of training and education. We had more than 30 workshops for engineers. Professionally, where we invited engineers from companies, from universities, and we trained them in solar concentrating technology. But we also trained the workers. You know, Rajasthan is one of the poorest countries, states in India. It's a semi-desert state. And we gave a lot of training to them, qualified them, proper working. We gave helmet, shoes, safety. We also employ the local women folk. And we now have 100 people employed permanently at the power plant for cleaning, security, gardening, and so on. We also planted 3,000 trees around the power plant and started organic farming in order to make it a true green power plant. So we try also to help the surrounding villages by employing them and give them training and education. And you see, this is the power plant, here's the turbine house, and here's our Shantivan complex, 1.4 kilometers away, and we are here on top in Mount Abu. Yeah, so now you can see that we have done 20 years of research and development in clean technology, and you all know about the situation in the world, about climate change, and how necessary it is to use such a clean technology. And we use this clean technology out of various reasons. One reason is, of course, to demonstrate and bring such a technology to India, but also to inspire people to make use of such a clean technology, because the planet is suffering from environmental pollution. Since 100, 150 years, since the Industrial Revolution, we are polluting our planet systematically. All the time we were thinking it has no consequences and no effect, but now you all have heard about climate change, how the world is changing around us, and literally through all the gases, through the industries, we're changing the compound of the atmosphere, we're changing the air around us, we're changing the chemical composition of the air, and this is causing the change of our climate. That slide is not there. So what happened is now the temperature has raised approximately 1.2 degrees above normal, but in the Arctic, for example, the temperature has gone up 4 degrees. I'm regular in the visiting the UN climate conferences since the last 10 years, and I'm also going regular to the Climate Research Institute in Germany. This is a slide called Trigger Points. Sorry, you can't read it. Trigger Points in Climate. And you can see the blue are the ice masses which have started to melt. All around the world you hear about glaciers which are melting. You hear about ice sheet which is being lost in the Arctic and the Antarctic. And this is a self-supporting effect. The more ice melts, the more the sun falls on the blue ocean and heats up the ocean more. And this is causing the seawater level rise. Right now, the sea rises 3 millimeters per year, but the tendency and the trend is exponential. And we can expect in the near future that more ice will melt and it will accelerate. 10 years ago, we were told it will take 1,000 years that all the ice melts. 5 years ago, we were told it takes 500 years. Last year, they said it happens much faster, but they stopped giving us any timeline. But things are moving quite fast. Also here, the Tibetan glaciers are melting. I was just 2 weeks ago in Jasper's National Park in Canada, and I was standing on a glacier which is losing every year 4 meters of the thickness and 50 meters in length. And the Tibetan glaciers are melting, and they are feeding the Ganges River. It is expected in 30 to 40 years that the Ganges will be dry in summer. 400 million people need the Ganges to produce rice. So you can imagine what effect it will have if the glaciers are disappearing. So this is happening. The red system are the circulation systems, and we already see a change in Indian summer, West African monsoon. The Atlantic circulation is changing, and we have a prolonged drought in the whole West Coast, the whole West Coast of the United States. I was in British Columbia just recently, and San Francisco, California, and British Columbia is on fire because no rain since many years, and the forests are just burning away. Then the green are the ecosystems. The tropical reefs are dying. The forests in the northern hemisphere are under stress. The Amazon rainforest is also disappearing. So what we can see is our planet is under massive stress, and the climate is changing and is going to find a new balance. Where this balance will be, we're not 100% sure, but for example, some of the effects in Germany, this year we had in whole Europe an unprecedented drought, and we have probably the worst harvest since 100 years. This is corn in Germany. These are forest fires 30 kilometers outside of Berlin, which we never had before like this. And this is our mighty river Rhine, where normally the barges and ships are going up and down and almost run dry. And Germany is normally a green country with a lot of grass, green grass, and if you go there now, it's brown. It's all brown. It has completely changed. So worldwide climate change is happening already. It's affecting, as per latest study, it will affect mostly countries like India, Africa, and America. Less affected will be the northern countries like North Europe, Russia, and Canada. Climate change is happening. It's a threat to us, and it is a serious situation because it is accelerating, and it will sort of threaten food security. It will cause more migration in the future, and so on. So it's probably one of the biggest problems we have right now. So, and the problem is that we are part of the whole situation, and we're part of the problem, we're part of the solution. It is partly our consume, which is causing the problems. Unfortunately, cannot read it. So Mahatma Gandhi said, there is sufficient in the world for man's need, but not for man's greed. And we all got a bit greedy. And if we go home, we open our cupboard and we look inside, we see we have too many shoes, too many dresses. Who has too many shoes and dresses at home? Hands up. You know, sometimes we go home, we open the cupboard and we think, my God, it's full. I have this dress, I've not worn it since 5 years. I have to throw it away. And actually, I don't need any more dress. But then I go in the shopping mall and I see this new dress in this cream color, which I like so much, and I just buy it, you know. So we are hypnotized by advertisement to have more, 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 more. We create a program in our mind. If I have more, I will become a happy and satisfied person. Of course, that's sort of an illusion. And at the same time, we buy everything on credit card. So the world is in a sort of dilemma. We have a financial crisis. We have an environmental crisis. But we have also a crisis of civilization, of behavior, of ethics and values. And because of all these problems, Brahma Kumaris has created an environmental initiative. And with this initiative, we set it up 10 years ago, no? Sonia, 10 years. I just would like to introduce Sonia. Maybe you can just get up and show yourself. Sonia is our manager of the environmental initiative. She's from Sweden but lives in Denmark, runs the center there. And Sonia coordinates most of the activities of our green team, as we call ourselves, or the environmental initiative. We are going to the climate conferences and we try to inspire people. Try to inspire people to change themselves. Because what we're telling them is that the inner world, the inside and the outside are interconnected. Since the science revolution 150 years ago, unfortunately, we were told there is the world and the reality, and whatever you feel, whatever you think, has nothing to do with that reality outside there. Now, slowly, slowly, we find out, also by science, that our inner world, our feelings, emotions, our thoughts, and what happens outside there are very well interconnected. And we try to inspire people to become caregivers, dreamers, meditators, peacemakers, strategists, and visionaries. And we give blessing cards to them. We run programs there. And we try to inspire them also for a green lifestyle. Rethink, reuse, reduce, and recycle. So rethink before you buy, reuse the goods. For example, the notebook I'm using is a second-hand. This remote control I bought on the flea market for €5 5 years ago, and I'm so happy with it. So I'm trying to reuse things. Reduce your consumption and recycle. When I was a small boy, I'm in the very unfortunate situation that I'm the youngest of three brothers. You may not understand what it means, but I had to wear all the cloth from my elder brothers. Yeah, you are laughing, but that was quite serious because I had to wear also the shoes of my elder brothers. That was in the 60s and 70s. It was a very bad situation. Now you try to do it with your youngsters, they will totally freak out. And they will say, no way, I'm wearing the shoes or the dress from the elders. Because they say, I need latest Van Huysen with the latest color trend and so on. It's quite interesting. So, save energy, save water and reduce waste. This is what we practically have to do. And with our environmental initiative, we try to inspire our centers all around the world to follow these guidelines. We also recently, we're very soon launching a plastic-free campaign for the institution and also a travel compensation for our, because we're all flying yogis, you know, so we're trying to compensate for our emissions from the journeys. So, and this is the Happy Green Team in Bonn in the last climate conference. Sister Genti is there. She's coming. Huh? Sister Genti is coming tomorrow or so. Here is Sonia and myself. We were in Bonn at the climate conference. And we had more than 20 programs there. And we are working a lot with interfaith with the other religions. And we have a stand where we introduce solar power and try to inspire people to change also on the inside. And here you see the German Minister of Environment, and she's opening the press conference at the climate conference, and she introduces India One as one of the key projects for the future. And when I came for the climate conference, I was totally shocked because 10,000 posters of India One were printed and pasted all over Germany at railway stations, airports, in the newspapers. And I don't know how much money the German government spent. It was quite a lot. And suddenly our project was promoted in a big way. We also promote a vegetarian diet. You can see here that approximately these are the animals. Food production, meat production has a very high energy consumption. It is said that land use, water use and energy use is 10 times higher for the meat production, but the gain of protein is very minimal. So it's a very inefficient way of producing food. A mathematician from Oxford has calculated about a month ago, within 10 years we have all to become vegetarian globally. Otherwise we cook the planet. Isn't that the news? And how many of you are vegetarian? All of you mostly? Okay, those who are not vegetarian, be inspired. All the studies show if you're a vegetarian, you're more healthy, you're more happy, and you do something very well for the planet. It is said 30% of the greenhouse gas emissions are due to meat production. And this is a secret photo from NASA. I just got it yesterday. I show it to you first time. It shows planet Earth vegetables dancing around it, and the planet is very happy. This is a joke, by the way, but okay. You can laugh. All right. Okay, so what can we do? Just to give you an idea how much my lifestyle actually contributes. It is said that a normal European person or normal person in a Western European or highly industrialized country produces between 15 to 20 tons of carbon emissions per year. Now, for example, if you use LED bulbs, it has a very little slow impact. If you dry your cloth outside, little impact, or you recycle little. If you replace your car with a hybrid car, you save half a ton of carbon emissions per year, which is a bit something something. But it gets better. If you replace your car with an electric car, you already save more than 1 ton of carbon emissions. If you use renewable energies at home, it's 1.5 tons. And if you avoid a transatlantic flight, it's 1.6 tons that we all just have miserably failed because we all came here by a long-distance flight. So we are all have miserably failed here because international flights are causing a lot of carbon emissions. So I try whenever possible to walk, go by bicycle, or take the train or the ship, and last solution is the plane. And you can pay 1% of the cost towards a organization which invests that money into renewable energy projects or replantation in order to absorb these emissions from the atmosphere. This is what we're planning for the institution also. But the best is, of course, you live free without a car. Who lives without a car who doesn't have a car? One, two, three, yeah, very few. You are our gold medalists. You receive now a virtual gold medal from me. Isn't that nice? So, you are our climate heroes. So, the next climate conference is in Katowice in Poland, and we are going there in December. And I was just recently at the Global Climate Action Summit in San Francisco. This is the Governor Brown, he's the governor of California, and he just announced huge plans for California to become carbon neutral by 2045. And there were hundreds of mayors, hundreds of governors of regions, and they all promised to go green, to go solar. Many big companies, international companies, are going solar now, changing their headquarters and looking into their production. So going green, going solar is a very, very big trend right now, and it is increasing. Just that you know, that's the latest trend in industry. So now we have seen that there's a lot of good technology around us. There's a lot of there's climate change is happening. A lot of activities are going on, but somehow we don't have enough momentum. So how we can live in harmony with the planet and create a better world. And science has looked, now we come to the spiritual part, why you're all here. Science has looked a lot into our consciousness and subconscious. And they wanted to find out who is taking the decision. And I think today you had a session on karma. Huh? Yeah, I think you had a session on the tricky karma. So what happened is that 95% of our decisions are coming from the subconscious. And the subconscious is based or is built out of the memories of the past. Whatever happens to you, good, bad, this, that, you record it into your subconscious and you create neuronal connections in your brain. And these memories and these neuronal connections which you have, they form your activity. It means rationally I can tell you change, become a better person, but you come out of the room and you follow your habits. Now, science has done a lot of research how to change these habits and this awareness. And of course, we're interested also a lot into meditation. And they found out when you meditate regular, you change your social competence. You accept and love yourself, and you love also the environment around you. You increase your relaxation and improve your health. This is well known, but now it gets very interesting. It increases brain cells and activities. Now you have to know that by the age of 25, until the age of 25, your brain actually grows. From the age of 25, your brain slowly shrinks. When you're 40, you start experiencing this slowly. You get out of the house and you forgot the key. You say, oh, I forgot the key. You go back, you grab the key, you go out, you are at the car, and then you find out that you've forgotten the mobile phone. And you go back. So these are the first signs that we slowly have less and less capacity in our brain. Our brain slowly starts to shrink. And what they found out is if you meditate, you are doing it regular, you have faith, and you have a good relation with your teacher, you increase the density of the gray brain cells and you create new neuronal activities and connections in your brain. You also increase the neuronal plasticity of your brain. It means you are able to change habits and awareness. And that's what we all want. And you slowly free yourself of the memories of the past. You're settling your karmic accounts by the power of meditation. This is by science. Very interesting. There's a lot of articles about it. It's called Neuroscience, Yoga and Meditation. If you Google it up, Neuroscience and Meditation, you will find a lot of articles and peer-reviewed information about the effect of meditation and how it helps you actually to change. But we also need a bit more. We need some magic. And quantum physics is gave us a lot of interesting information. It says you observe the experiment and you change the outcome. If you observe it's called the double slit experiments. It's very, very famous. You can also Google it up. What is the nature of light? As long as you observe it, light behaves like a particle. The moment you change and look at the audience, light behaves like a wave. You look back, it becomes a particle. You look there, it becomes a wave. What does it mean? Inner world and outer world are connected. If I observe the reality, I have an impact. And this is the old paradigm which we lost 200 years ago. I am connected to the world. I'm part of it. What I think matters. This is very, very important. There's also Ellen Langer. She's a professor in Harvard, very, very famous. She did lots of experiments with decision-making and so on. And she found out if you have positive and powerful thoughts, your body reacts within 2 hours and completely changes itself. She made experiments with old people in an old age home. And when they live as they were young 50 years ago, after 2 weeks, the whole body completely changes. She's very, very famous. You can look her up. I don't have enough time to go in details, but very, very interesting. What she proved is what you think you become. I'm happy. I'm strong. I have positive thoughts on myself. My body reacts and the environment around me reacts. So, what you think matters. We are connected to the world and we have an impact. This is what science tells us. This is what quantum physics tells us. And this is what we also teach here, that what I think, I radiate. I create that atmosphere and that atmosphere is going out. So, we first have to think positive on ourselves. Heal yourself. Become a healer. Then you can heal others, and then we can start healing the world, and we also can deal with the problems of climate change, environmental pollution, and so on. Because I and my inner world and the outer world, we are interconnected, and there's a very, very strong link. This is latest science also. We do yogic farming with 5,000 farmers in India, and what we do is we meditate with the seeds, we give positive, loveful vibration to the seeds, and then they put them into the ground. And this is after meditation with the seeds. With meditation and loveful thoughts, we have 30% more output. And this has been confirmed with the university. We have done a peer-reviewed study. And the Indian government, Ministry of Agriculture, likes to work with us now because of the positive results. We don't need fertilizer. We don't need bugs. We have 30% more output. When we tell to the seeds, I love you, you're my friend, you're very good. I change the quality of the seed. Isn't that interesting? Huh? So imagine how powerful are your thoughts if you bless yourself every morning. This is why we have a meditation in the morning, and we bless ourselves with divine light, with divine powers. I am a good person, I am powerful, the day will become very, very good, my body will become healthy, everything will be all right, I will have no stress. If we talk in this way to ourselves, we create an energy field which has an impact into reality. So, meditation and a change of thoughts are the key to transform the world. This is the magic and this is the power which we actually possess. And this makes us not to inactive people, it allows us to become active. And it allows us to become change makers. So, yoga, which is an old Sanskrit word and means connection with the divine for self-enlightenment, it helps us to realize, I myself, I'm pure light. I'm pure energy. And then once I realize that I'm light and energy, I receive power, and then I achieve transformation. And then I can change myself, and then I can change the energy field around me, and I have impact into physical reality, and I can have an impact into the world and change people's behavior, but help also the trees, the animals, the earth. Towards a better world, yoga, change of consciousness, unity, peace, and the technology, sustainable technology, we have all the time already with us. We have all the technology which we actually need since quite a long time. So, I hope I have given you a little bit of a summary, an inspiration on renewable energies of the Brahma Kumaris. We are very, very active since more than 20 years. We are pioneers in India. We are the biggest institutional user of solar energy in India. We are a research center. I have given you an idea what we're doing with the environmental campaign. We're going out. We are working very closely together with interfaith organizations, and 80% of the world community is connected to a faith. And we are trying to join that alliance and bring everybody towards the understanding that what I think and what I feel has a very, very profound impact into the world. And lastly, I shared with you a little bit of science about quantum physics and about neuroscience, about psychology, how to change, and that meditation is a very, very powerful tool to deal with my subconscious program, with the memories of my past. We have web pages here, India One, Echo, Brahma Kumaris, and here is also brochures, some brochures, the Echo, some of biodiversity. Please feel free to take them. This is all the brochures which we have right now up here, and otherwise you will find echobrahmakumaris.org, a lot of videos, a lot of ideas, and a lot of input towards that. I thank you very much for your time. Thank you. Om Shanti. Do we have time for meditation?